This episode is brought to you by KitCaster. KitCaster books you on top podcasts. How do funded startup founders attract prospects and talent? Podcast interviews. How do entrepreneurs with exits find new deals? Podcast interviews. How do C-suite execs differentiate in crowded markets? Podcast interviews. KitCaster books you on top podcasts. Click the link in the show notes for a special offer. Celebrate good conversation.
This podcast is brought to you by BitIRA, my affiliate partner. BitIRA leads the industry in helping consumers diversify their retirement accounts with cryptocurrency investments. Why BitIRA? Because they are among the most secure and compliant digital IRA solutions, guys, providers on the market. Their uncompromising commitment to security includes storing consumers' cryptocurrency in cold storage within grade V nuclear bunkers, protecting consumers' stored cryptocurrency with end-to-end insurance, complying proactively with regulations by using regulated exchanges and registering with the U.S. government. Every asset class carries its own set of advantages. The key is achieving your financial objectives and growing your wealth is understanding those advantages and learning to balance your investments across a range of appropriate asset classes suited to your unique situation. So per notice 2021 from the Internal Revenue Services, digital currencies are treated as personal properties for tax purposes, thus making them eligible to be held inside a digital IRA account. That means that any gains you accrue through your digital currency investments remain tax-free until you withdraw them from your retirement account as a distribution. And here's something else that many people don't know. If you sell your digital currencies within your IRA without taking a distribution, any gains that you may have made can be reinvested in other asset classes. In other words, your IRA does not need to remain entirely in digital assets to keep this tax deferred designation. The current cryptocurrencies you can actually invest in BitIRA are Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Chainlink, Ethereum, Ethereum Classic, Zcash, and Stellar Lumens. Welcome to the future. I'm BioChef T, and guys, click my BitIRA link, affiliate link, right in the description to learn more and get yourself a free guide on digital IRAs. Peace.
Hey, Samantha.
How's it going?
Good. How's it going?
Great.
Thanks for joining me right here on Vectween podcast. Really appreciate you taking the time out to hop on this.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
You have quite a resume, quite a bio, very extensive and extremely inspiring. So I would love to learn a little bit more of your story. I know you're the co-founder of Bitewell, correct?
Yep, that's
and
right.
You've done some things. I think you were also chief of staff to Jane Lauder, director of integrated marketing at Smashbox, where you co-created Jeffacon. Am I saying that correct?
Hefacon.
Thank you. Thank you. A women's empowerment movement that you were doing, right?
Yeah. Focused on Latinx women and bringing out the beauty of being a jefa or the beauty of being a boss.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that, are you still doing anything with that at all?
I'm not. I left it with the Smashbox team and with Kimberly Viatoro, who, you know, created the concept and we worked together on it. It was a really wonderful capstone to my time at Estee Lauder. It was actually the last big project that I worked on before leaving Fight Club.
Wow. Well, are you doing anything currently in terms of empowering women in the workforce as entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, every day with my team. Yeah, we are an incredibly diverse team here at Bitewell, and that is really important to Chris and Johnny, our CPO, and I. As we've been building the team, we want to make sure that as many different types of voices are heard as possible in the creation of this, you know, of this company that is going to change the way that the world eats. We need to reflect everyone who is eating in the world. So yeah, every day at work. And then I recently moved to Denver a couple months ago, so I'm starting to get plugged into the Denver tech and startup scene. I did a chat, was it last week? I think it was the week before, about the, you know, corporate to entrepreneur transition and how it impacts the ego, and especially a woman's ego, which is something that people don't like to talk about. So yeah, those are the things I've been doing.
That's great. That's great. How is it in Denver over there?
It's beautiful. I really love it.
I have a lot of friends out there. There was an organization that's still there. It's called First Ascent. And it's a organization where they take cancer fighters and survivors, and they go on adventurous trips such as hiking, kayaking, surfing, depending on the area.
Yeah.
And I was one of their chefs, cooking for like 30 plus people there. And it's really cool. I think they're located in Denver. They're definitely in Colorado.
Amazing. I'm going to take a look at that. Where are you?
I'm in Beacon, New York.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Beacon, New York. So it sort of has that mountain view, kind of like Colorado. And, you know, it's beautiful. You're surrounded by nature and animals, and
yep.
You know, lots of space to breathe comparing to the city.
Oh yeah. Were you in the city for a while?
I grew up in the city. In the city, lived there for many years. Then about 7 years ago, moved up to Beacon, Hudson Valley area.
Yeah. I'm from the Northeast, so I know exactly where you are. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about Bitewell. Love to know. I love nutrition. I'm big into health. I'm a cancer survivor. So that's primarily one of the reasons why I am always looking for new technology in the health field. And I'm currently studying biotech. So I'm all into it. I love it.
Yeah. It's so at Bitewell, we are on a mission to improve the world's health through food. And we really believe that the future of health and healthcare is food. What we know, the facts of the matter, are that we in the US are spending over $3.8 trillion a year on healthcare costs. That number is rising 5% year over year. So when we look to 2028, we'll be spending over $6 trillion on healthcare costs if we continue the way that we are.
Wow.
And more than 35% of those costs are from nutrition-related issues. And so why aren't we solving this healthcare problem from a food and nutrition lens? That is our thesis and the backbone for why we've created Bitewell. And in my experience, there are a lot of nutrition solutions out there that focus on things that I don't feel are attainable in my life. They focus on things like meal planning and prepping, which is great, which I can do for 2 weeks and then fall off the wagon because I, you know, have a week where I'm traveling or going out to dinner with friends a couple of times a week and it just doesn't fit into my life. Or you have other options that are focused on tracking, which can also be great, but it requires me to log into an app, you know, 5 or 6 times a day, make sure that I'm remembering and tracking every item that I've eaten, and I'm guesstimating like, oh, I think I had, you know, a handful of almonds. I think I had this, I think I had that. So those are the two solutions that exist out there today. And what's missing in those two solutions is the connection to action. So every day I make over 200 food decisions, most of them subconscious, some of them about the size of the plate that I choose, about the type of, you know, broccoli or spinach that I'm going to grab out of the refrigerator. Am I going to pick lentil chips or potato chips when I'm walking down the aisle of the grocery store? and make over 200 decisions. And most of those decisions are around the point of action, moment when I'm hungry and I want to eat. And so we needed to create a solution that lived at that moment with you. And that's what Bitewell does. So the way that our platform works, we are a food health marketplace. So you open up Bitewell, we pull in your favorite restaurant meals, grocery items, meal kits, all the things that you buy in your everyday life as you're going about the process of making food decisions, and we score them. We've created this proprietary food health score. You can think of it almost like a credit score for food, and it helps you understand how different food items are going to fit into your body's health needs. And then from that, you can make an informed decision about the food you're going to put into your body.
Nice. Now, is this based off of somebody's dietary needs in the sense of following specific diets like a paleo diet, keto diet, vegan diet? Or do you have that option of setting it up where someone is just all around balance? Homeostasis, is that what is pretty much what they're looking for, maybe?
Yep, it can be both. Yep, you tell us about yourself, your allergies, your intolerances, any diet or lifestyle preferences that you have, any, you know, religious diet preferences that you have that you want to follow. You tell us about the food that you like and that you don't like. You tell us about health conditions that you have or have had in the past, but how you want to feel and how you feel today. And based on that information and the over 250 different health attributes that we can assign to both you, the user, and each individual food item, based on those answers, we're able to help you understand which foods fit into your body's needs, whatever those needs are.
That's really cool. What are some of the testimonies you have on using your app? Or do you have like a, have you built up like a database of people using the app around that?
Yeah. So we launched with a pilot in Dallas, Texas earlier this year. And we have a couple thousand very loyal fans and followers who've been using Bitewell since then. And we're just rolling out nationally over the next couple of months through partnerships that we have with businesses in the corporate wellness space. One of the things that we learned when we ran that pilot with individual users was, this is great, but we need to access over 90% of us who are eating the wrong foods for our body. Okay. How in the world are we going to access 90% of us in an efficient way as business people, right? And so what we've done is gone through the corporate wellness channel and really positioned ourselves as a food health benefit so that corporations, large and small, can offer Bitewell as part of their overall health package and subsidize the cost of healthy food for their employees. Oh, wow. And so, yeah, we have great testimonials from employers who are loving the platform. They love seeing, you know, the makeup of the food needs of their team on aggregate. They love being able to provide healthier food options and the fact that we can provide them at really great prices. And so they don't feel like they're, you know, having their arm sawed off for the price of healthy food. And we have great testimonials too from people who have used Bitewell and said that we have demystified a lot of information about nutrition. So instead of just giving you all the data and saying, hey, figure out what this means for you, we're giving you the data and we're saying, hey, this is what we think the data means for you. This is how we think this food fits into your life and into your body's needs. So we're really just helping to make the process as frictionless as possible at that moment when you're hungry and you don't want to think about, you know, macros and calories and ingredients. You just want to think about what is the best food available to me right now that I can put in my body so I can stop being hungry.
Right. No, of course. Your app does calculate macros though, does it? Still?
It does.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how are you able to figure out the caloric intake for each meal from all the restaurants that's integrated into your system?
Good question. So we have developed over the past 18 months a really interesting algorithm that looks at publicly available information that we can pull in and information that we have through a process that we call Bitewell verification. So there are some restaurants that we work with who are Lightwell verified partners. You'll see that on the app. And what that means is they've opened up their recipe book to us. We've ingested their recipe book, so we understand ingredients, portion size, nutrition information for all of their meals. And then across those two data sets, the public data set and the private data set, we've been able to figure out these really interesting intricacies of the data, so that when we look at a, you know, grilled salmon from a pizza place in Milwaukee, it looks different than a grilled salmon from a fine dining restaurant in New York. We look at things like price point, and we look at things like portion size and location to get as accurate as possible on that algorithmically derived data.
Okay, very cool. Another interesting question, just thinking about this right now. You're integrated with a bunch of restaurants throughout the country already?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to plug in food websites with recipes to do the same thing? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
And is that happening now, or is that like, would that have to be like a special request?
No, not at all. So we have access to, I think, over 1 million recipes at this point that pull from different open source recipe sites throughout the internet. And then in the future, we also intend to allow you to create and save your own recipes within the Vital platform, so you can go back to the things you're eating over and over again.
Oh, cool. Cool. And so people can actually go on the app, find restaurants, but also find recipes from other websites, right?
Yep. And groceries and meal kits, anything you eat, we want to make sure that we have a perspective on.
Okay. It sounds like you guys are going to be like the Amazon to like nutrition and food.
I mean, you said it, I didn't.
That's cool though. That's really cool. I mean, there's a lot of misleading content out there that can really confuse people on how to eat, and it really disrupts the whole entire system, literally our systems and the system. I don't know if I made sense there, but to be able to take all the data in and really use it in the way that you're saying, I think it's extremely powerful. What is food health to you? What does that mean to you?
So for a long time, the main metric for health as it related to food, or for, you know, personal nutrition, was weight. If my weight hits a specific number, then I am quote unquote healthy. That was the idea for a very long time. I think that's changing now, and has been changing over the past 10 years. It's changing with more acceleration now, where we are starting to understand that health as it relates to food, what I call food health, is not just about weight. That is a component for sure, but it's also about how your digestive system feels when you eat food, how your body feels, how much energy you have throughout the day, what your skin looks like. Is your skin dull, or does it have a glow to it from eating the right nutrients for your body? And so to me, food health is understanding the holistic effect that the food that you eat has on your body's health today and on your body's health in the future.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you all work with dietitians?
We do. We have an incredible team of dietitians, nutritionists, and food scientists on our staff and on our advisory board.
And they work with the restaurants as well? Or is that something complete? How is that whole process put together?
Yeah, so we have what we call our dietetic council, who creates and verifies and validates all of the science that goes into Bitewell. From the algorithm that assigns information to food, to how we then synthesize all of that data and show it to you, to the food health score, and all of the other things that underpin the technology. We also have a team of dietitians who work with ingesting recipe information from, you know, restaurants, or who work with the publicly available data on products to ensure that we're getting the right data into our system. So two sides of the coin there, and dietitians are key to both pieces.
Right. Algorithm. Can you explain what algorithm is? Just for the listeners and viewers, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. I think the easiest way to explain what our algorithm is simple math. So we assign a numeric value to food attributes. We assign a numeric value to user attributes, and we match those numeric values through a series of equations to help you understand which foods that we're showing you are the right foods for you. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. I'm just curious. Everybody has like their own sort of unique way of explaining algorithms, but I know algorithm, and I think we all do, is going to be completely part of the future moving forward with a lot of things.
If these words mean anything to our listeners, our algorithm for helping to match food to users is a machine learning based recommendation engine. So that is what that algorithm is. For anyone right. who's listening who wants to understand a little bit deeper about what we've built.
Sure. Samantha, what would you say is your most important life principle?
My most important life principle is my most important work life principle. I have to think about my most important life principle, but my most important work life principle is that sometimes you have to pick your head up out of the spreadsheet. And what I mean by that is the data can tell you so much. And I think a lot of people get very focused on what the data in the spreadsheet is telling them to do. But you'll never drive innovation if you only make decisions based on the data that you're seeing in the spreadsheet. And that's what I mean by sometimes you have to pick your head up out of the spreadsheet, look at what's going on around you, and use your intuition to synthesize what you're seeing around you with the data that you're seeing in the spreadsheet. And through kind of the connection between intuition and data, that is how innovation is driven, from my perspective.
Right. Would you say that's how Bitewell came about?
Yeah, I would. Chris, who is my business partner and co-founder, is excellent at picking his head up out of the spreadsheet. He sees innovation happening, 3, 5, sometimes 10 years before it hits, and has a track record of doing so. And so it's his insight that led to, hey, almost three years ago now, this thing is coming. I don't have a name for it yet, but it's the intersection of food and health and helping people kind of drill down into how the food they're eating impacts their health and how that ties to action. And so he saw those dots connecting that we're now starting to really see in the market. He sent me something this morning. South by Southwest is doing a whole speaker session this upcoming year about food and health and the intersection of those two things.
Really?
And how AI is playing into the furthering of the food health movement. But he saw those dots connecting before they started really connecting. He saw them moving toward each other. And I think that's from, looking at the data and then picking your head up out of the spreadsheet and seeing what's happening around you.
Do you both see in the future, near future perhaps, the metaverse playing a role in health and nutrition?
Good question. Maybe. I think we're farther off from that than we think we are.
Okay.
I think there could be a really interesting future where the metaverse plays into doctor hospital visits. But I think we're still far from that. I think we're maybe a decade or maybe a little bit more off from that. Mm-hmm. I do think that there are really interesting blockchain implications on food supply and how we understand where our food comes from to how it gets to us and into our mouth. And that will really help to bolster the data that we have around food, especially in the restaurant supply, where there is so much murkiness about what food ends up on your plate at the end of the day. So I think that's a little bit closer than the metaverse playing in, but it's all joining in the future in front of us.
It is. It is.
We just need to listen to how it's coming together.
The transparency of what you're referring to back to the restaurants and where food comes from and to your plate makes me think of a company. It's a blockchain company called VeChain. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
No.
You can check them out. They might be located in Singapore. And okay. They have a bunch of companies and they partnered with, I think in Italy, a wine company. I think Walmart China is one of them, BMW China, a few others in China, but pretty much in the Asian region over there in Europe. So I know I think they have an office in California too. So I think they're slowly building out the U.S., you know, regulations slowing things down a little bit. But I think hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll, you know, solve something in that sector and continue to progress forward. But yeah, I could totally see how everything is at least 10 years out, perhaps, is going to be interconnected that way. And there might be, it should be a lot smoother in transitions from one thing to another, which is super cool. What is your prediction or his prediction and where you see the next 5-10 years from now in the tech space?
Tech broadly or food health tech?
We can narrow it to food and health. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I see. I think over the next 5 years, especially as Gen Z comes further into the workplace, there's going to be more of an emphasis on eating the right food for you as a personalized individual versus the blanket, like, I'm going to have healthy food, because we're going to understand better how the food that we're eating impacts our body's health overall and what foods our body needs to eat on the day to day to feel well, or to be, to use your word, in homeostasis. And so I see the connection, and we're really building the connection between food technology, all of the great logistics providers out there who have been working on getting food to people quickly and easily for the past 10 years, and health technology, all of the connected health devices, our, you know, continuous glucose monitor, our Apple Watch, our Fitbit, our Oura Ring, they're all ingesting biometric data about us that we have only cracked into just a tiny little bit. Mm. And so what if we could pair speedy food delivery with an understanding of biometric data and watch how the food that you've ordered and then eaten impacts your body's health and get smarter, a continuous loop between what your body is telling you and what food you order and choose to put into your body. It's a daily choice. And if we can make that feedback loop tighter and tighter, smaller and smaller, we can get more accurate about the food that we eat, why we eat it, when we eat it, how we eat it. We can move to a world where technology can predict when we're hungry, what we want to eat, what we need to eat. Right? We can move to that world. And what if 10 years from now, you don't order or grocery shop or have a meal kit delivered? What if the food just shows up?
Because of your body?
Yep. In the moment you're hungry with exactly what you want to eat and what you need to eat. What if? So, I'm just throwing out there.
No, that's interesting. That's so interesting. What if, like, how would that... How would that happen? Like what would need to, is it a watch?
I think it's a combination of things, right?
Okay.
One device is not going to give you all the biometric data that you need to be able to make that type of leap.
Right.
But if you're pulling in, you know, sensory data, so information about what you like to eat, stress data about what food choices you make when you're stressed, what the body stress levels look like. If you're pulling in biometric data like blood glucose and resting heart rate and those types of things and how they're impacted by different foods, and you pair that with, you know, location and an understanding of what your the events of your day are. So you're integrated with your calendar. Maybe we're integrated through glasses. And so we can see what the world around you looks like, who you're with, and how that might impact your food choices. If we can pull together this whole web of data that we're starting to have about us, and we put a food lens on it and a health lens on it, then that world can exist.
That is extremely fascinating. Very yeah. fascinating. Wow.
So that's the world we're building.
Right.
And we're far away, right. but we're how, taking how the far? First steps.
How far?
How far?
From? Yeah.
I don't want to put a number on it.
Okay.
I don't want to put a number on it because I don't know. It really depends on how quickly we advance technologically on the health side of things and how quickly we advance technologically on the food logistics and delivery side of things. It also will depend on what regulations look like and how we're able to use those two sets of data together. So there are a lot of factors that keep me from being able to give you a firm number.
No, that's totally cool.
But it's coming.
Yeah.
And we're building yeah. it.
I totally believe it. I totally believe it. I've been in the blockchain space for quite some time. And just from learning and studying, reading a lot in that space, you start to learn other things that's happening. That's how I came across VeChain.
Yeah.
VeChain, the food supply chain, you know, and there's the whole financial sector. And you have gaming, and you have the metaverse, and all this stuff. I mean, you know this. You're in the tech space.
I'm going to look into VeChain. That's a great... I always love learning about new companies that I don't know about.
Yeah, it's a really good company. It's been around for a while. It's definitely in your alley of food supply. You know, you work on the food supply and stuff like that, which is cool. What's your overall thoughts about the food industry currently?
I think our food supply for a long time has been built around convenience and speed. Both of those things are really important. Because they give people access to food, which we need to live and survive.
Right.
What I don't think we've done a good job on is building food supply around health and what's best for our body's needs. And so it is now time to bridge that gap. We've advanced far enough on the convenience and speed side of things. We've advanced far enough on being able to generate enough food in some places to feed people. We still have much further to go in others on that, but that's moving. And because that's moving and our basic needs are starting to be met, we now need to overlay, okay, and how does this impact health? And how do we make sure that people understand the right foods to eat for health? How do we prioritize the creation of foods that are good for our health and not just foods that are colorful and bright and that we think we want to eat because we've been trained to eat sugar since we were, you know, a year old because there's added sugar in our baby food, right?
Right.
And so how do we start to make that transition globally, but a lot in, you know, Western countries like the US?
Right, right, right. Do you see robotics replacing a lot of the cooking staff in kitchens in the future? To help speed things up, do you see something like that happening?
I think it's possible. I'm not enough of a restaurant expert to have an incredibly informed opinion on it.
Right.
I think that in the mass market, it will happen before it happens in the fine dining world. And there is from my perspective, there is kind of a point where food crosses over from the thing that satiates you to art. And on the art side of things, I don't know if a robot is ever going to be in the kitchen at, you know, a 3 Michelin star restaurant creating sure. these sure. pieces of art. But I do think it's possible in a place like McDonald's where repetition is really important and where accuracy is really important. And they are, you know, they understand every granule of salt that they put on the fries. That is certainly possible. And could be helpful.
Cool. Cool. Can you elaborate a little bit about how going from chief of staff to CEO, just that process of getting to one position to another, and what it takes to be, you know, just a go-getter, a hustler, you know, in the field of entrepreneurship?
Totally. So I have played the chief of staff role formally and informally a few times. From my perspective, the best chief of staff is a person who can really understand the mind of the executive that they're working with, understand fully the business problems that are weighing on the executive that they're working with's mind, can drive strategic vision alongside the executive. And so that role really gives you full purview into how a business works, how all of the different departments function together. It gives you purview into what great data and insights look like, how insights drive strategic decision making. It gives you the ability to flex your visionary muscles as you're putting together strategic plans for the executive that you work with, and then they share their insight. And the relationship, when it's at its best, is a relationship of co-creation. Mm. And so you're not kind of serving the executive that you work for. You are partnering with the executive that you work for to help pull the best out of them and provide leverage where they need support. Take care of areas of the business that don't need their time and energy because they need to be focused on the most important things. So that's, to me, what the chief of staff role looks like at its best. And for people who have an entrepreneurial bent, or for people who have a visionary bent or a refining bent, for people for whom execution is not their favorite part of the job, for those people, I think it's actually an incredible springboard into an executive role or a co-founder role or a COO role is probably the easiest transition, because you have created this almost like a safe pond where you can flex all of your executive muscles, but you're not the executive. You're not the person making the final call at the end of the day. You are leveraging that person. And so you're doing the same things. You're thinking about the same things. You're seeing the same, you know, playing field. You're understanding how the chess pieces work together, but it's like being an executive with training wheels. You get to learn from the most incredible executive, you know, the person you work for, in the way that works best. And so for me, I always knew that the chief of staff path wasn't going to be my final thing. I think I'm a really good leverager, but at the end of the day, I also think that I'm an excellent executive in my own right. And so for me, it was part of my training journey to be an executive versus the final stop on my career journey. And both are great, right? There are chiefs of staffs that spend their entire careers becoming excellent at that, which is a wonderful career path that just wasn't the right one for me. And so I thought about it as like, how do I put the most tools in my tool belt and then become an executive in my own right?
That's awesome. That's all. Do you have any recommendations to starting a business?
Oh my gosh. Have courage, have grit. Don't expect it to go the way that you expect it to go. But in all seriousness, the advice that I wish someone had given me, that no one gave me until after that, is that a lot of times you will chat with people who talk about how easy it is to fundraise right now, not literally right now, but like a year ago. Oh, the fundraising environment is so easy. You know, you just need to show a J curve of growth. Here's the growth. And you meet these founders who are maybe a little bit further along than you. And they're like, oh yeah, everything's great. We're like hitting the curve. But no one tells you that on that J curve graph, that everyone shows you, the flat part where you don't see any growth can be years. Years. Not months, not weeks, not days, years. Be prepared for that. Because after I had that experience, now we're starting to hit our growth, but for a long time it was flat because we needed to develop the intelligence and the technology, and you know, there was a lot that needed to go into it before we could start to see growth. Now when I talk to founders who have been through it a couple of years, who I knew back when I first started, and I say this to them, they're like, oh yeah, it does take a really long time before you get there, but no one tells you before you start.
Right, so
you constantly think you're like doing something wrong. You're like, why am I failing? Why am I continuously failing? And you're not. It just takes time.
Right. How long did it take you to get to where you are right now with Bitewell?
I have been working on Bitewell for 2 years as of 11 days ago. I'm just looking at the date on the bottom of my computer. Yeah, 2 years as of 11 days ago. So 2 years and 11 days.
Before the 2 years, you were pretty much building who you are now. Before that, and how long was that timeline?
I mean, probably 10 years before I felt like I was ready to step out and take a risk and found something. Right. That's for me, because my risk threshold or my risk tolerance level is probably a little bit lower than your traditional founder. So I wanted to make sure that I felt like I had enough tools in my belt before I went and took the leap.
Right. I mean, it goes back to like kind of like what you're saying. It takes time. I mean, that's 10 years, then 2 years. You're working on something super special that you've been, you know, probably dreaming about before this, or just came across it along the way. I don't want to put words in your mouth or anything, but it does take time. You know, that's 12 years. Yeah. Which is incredible, and building everything all the way up into learning along the way at the same time. Is there any specific takeaways from this podcast you think the viewers, listeners should know?
We've covered so much ground. How can I answer? I'd say the main takeaway from what's happening at a macro level in food and health is that these two areas are intersecting. They're going to collide at some point in the not too distant future. And if I have anything to say about it, the collision of those two worlds will result in a healthier world for all of us.
Mm.
That's what we're building. That's, you know, what we wake up every day just to bring to you.
And this is your mission for your community, for the world, and what you truly, truly want to do, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, Samantha, thank you so much. Thank you. This was a great conversation. I learned a lot. Would love to have you back, sometime in the future, and maybe chat some more about where the company is going and anything else that you got yourself into, which is cool. But yeah. Take a look at those companies I just mentioned to you. I think that might be helpful. And thanks again for joining me right here on Bitwell. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. This has been awesome. I would love to come back. This has just been a really energizing conversation. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Where can everyone find you?
Yep. So you can find Bitewell at Bitewell.com, at BitewellPo on Instagram. And fun fact, if you want your company to offer Bitewell as an employee benefit, if you want to have better food in the workplace, better snack in the workplace, subsidized healthy food, head to Bitewell.com and there's a button toward the top of the screen that says, I want my employer to use Bitewell. And you can submit your employer. It will reach out to them and try to get Bitewell in there on behalf. So
that is so cool. You have a minute? You have another minute?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Can you explain that part? That's so cool.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. We'd love to learn that.
For sure. So, we want to be in, partnered with as many corporations as possible, because that's what helps us bring our food health mission to the world. And so if you are not happy with your office snack options, with your office lunch options, if your office doesn't offer any food benefits, if your office has a nutrition program that you think sucks, head to whiteball.com. Tell us about it. So tell us, you know, your name, your company's name, how many employees they have, and what you want to change. And we'll reach out, we'll find the right person, the HR director, or the COO, or the chief people officer. We'll reach out to them and say, hey, someone from your team reached out to us and said that they would love to see Whiteball in your office. Let's chat for 30 minutes. Let's get you guys on board. And that has resulted in lots of awesome customers for us, because a lot of companies will take you up on it. If they know that their employees want the benefit, they'll bring it in. So yeah, help us get better food into your office.
That's awesome. That is so cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. Really appreciate
totally.
It. Cool. Samantha, thank you so much. I don't want to hold you up anymore. I will catch you hopefully sometime in the future.
For sure. This has been awesome.
Peace. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey guys, I just wanted to stop in here real quick. I know you just heard the BitIRA partnership that I have early in the podcast, but I wanted to remind you that BitIRA is actually giving away a Ledger Nano S. Ledger Nano S. Now, you're probably asking yourself, if you're not familiar with cryptocurrency, blockchain trading, and all that good stuff, what is a Ledger Nano S? So if you head over to ledger.com and you go over to introducing the Ledger Nano S, it's all about reclaiming your power over money. Combine the Ledger Nano S with the Ledger Live app for maximum security and control over your digital assets. The Ledger Nano S keeps your coins and NFTs offline and protected. So you can actually buy, exchange, and grow your cryptocurrency. You can manage and invest your cryptocurrency anytime, anywhere with Ledger and their partner. Buy, exchange, trade crypto in seconds, the simple, safe, and smart way. It's pretty cool stuff, guys. I you know, have my own Ledger Nano, and I've had it for many years, and I am completely happy with it. I am also invested in BitIRA as well, so for retirement, and that's actually a really great place to actually, you know, park your crypto if you're looking to invest your money into something that's new, fresh to the market, and possibly going to be growing over the years. Obviously, this is not financial advice. I am not your financial advisor. This is something that's I am, you know, just introducing to my podcast, and blockchain and crypto is developing, is going to continue to develop. It doesn't look like it's going away. So I just find it important to bring attention to this market on my platform as I continue to expand my podcast just from food and branch it out into sort of a just healthy living lifestyle experience. So check it out, guys. Check out the BitIRA link in the podcast description, like I mentioned in the preview, the beginning of this podcast. And this might be something you might be interested in. Also, BitIRA is no longer charging a fee, a monthly fee, to hold your crypto on their site. So that monthly fee has been removed. So that's great news. Check it out, guys. I'm BioShift T. Catch you guys in the next one. Peace out.
Oh, thank you.